that's the only thing we use, you know, for bread baking. I haven't seen one of them for a long time.
Now, you told us the other evening that when you left Dawson, one of your partners knew how to trap, how to prospect, and how to make bread.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When you got to Schumann House, you found out he didn't know how to He didn't know how to prospect, didn't know how to make bread.
And we was making a kind of hot cakes, and they were sour too. And Scotty was getting diarrhea. Scotty would have died if we, as we was going up the Porcupine, about 30 miles below us, a man called Harry Anthony and Walker, Ray Walker, we call him Dizzy Walker. They was there, and we camped there with them for a day and a night. And they say, when it freezes up, we're going to come up and see you. And it was a good thing they did, because it's when it froze up, Harry come right up to the house, stayed with us a few days, and showed us how to make bread. We was making hot cakes. And they were damn good and sour, and Scotty was getting diarrhea with a cute Scotty. Mm-hmm. But Harry come up and showed us how to make bread in this drum.
Oh yeah.
We can make bread just as good as anybody.
Mm-hmm. You ended up being the baker. You ended up being the baker from then on.
I think so, yes. Yes, I was doing the baking, the bread baking. Mm-hmm. Harry come and showed us that. And there were visitors every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. How long did your partnership last? 2 years? 3 years?
Well, as long as we was up there. The reason that partnership split, say, and at that time, I had this letter from the outside that this man, I'm going to go down prospecting. This guy knows where all the gold is. So Scotty is already gone, see, and when I get a letter from, waiting for a letter from this man, the letter don't come, Scotty's gone, I've no boat, I've no way to get there. So one of the men, the little Frenchman has worked with me on the creeks, is going prospecting on Weber, so he asked me to go, and I go with him prospecting, instead of going with Scotty to our old place trapping, because he's already gone, and I've no way to get there. So, Felix is going prospecting, why wouldn't I go with him? I've no other place to go. I'd like to go back to my place trapping, but the boat's gone. Mm-hmm. So I went with Felix at Charlton, and we spent the winter prospecting on Weber Creek.
But eventually, you were the only man who stayed. All your partners left and you established...
Wait a minute, Scotty, of course, he went up to the old place to trap.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed, went prospecting. Now, I never saw Scotty again, because some boys come from on the river down below here, some boys come up to our place, and they followed some slough and come out in front of our house and went over and got acquainted with Scotty. And Scotty went with them down the river, mm-hmm. and he's been there ever since.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Scotty got down the river. Because these boys come up there, following the slough, and here our house in front there, went over, got acquainted with Scotty, and that's how Scotty went with him down the river, and he's been there ever since. Mm-hmm. I never saw him again.
So
I've letters from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And from that time on, you've been by yourself?
By myself, yeah. So I was by myself for... this old Fred German was with me. We was partners for one winter, but he was a very lazy man, and he never learned. So we just split up, sociable, but we live in the same cabin, and split up each one for himself. We divide the trails, what there was, and I make a lot more, and old Fred, he don't bother. And I get married. We live in that same cabin with old Fred until we build a new one, which we have a nice cabin there now. But I got married, and Ellen lived with me, all live in that same cabin until I build a new one. And then we moved there, and old Fred stays in the cabin, and has his trap lines, and I, with Ellen, of my own trap line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But old Fred, he never learned to trap, and he was a very lazy man. He couldn't even make a living. Mm-hmm. He come down here, and he was lucky to live in the mission here for, until he died. Mm-hmm. Live right there, and there was a, he would sing, he was a good singer, you know, entertainer, and Fred did that work, he got along fine with him, and lived and slept and lived right there in the hospital for about 3 years until he died. Mm-hmm. But I stayed up and went on with my, I was married and extended trap lines and made a living that way.
Now, tell us how you got married. Where did you meet your bride?
Well, it wasn't much of a courtship. One time there was a man here called Dick Martin. He's a good friend of mine. Says his boys are around here, young Dick Martin, but he's nothing like the old man. Anyway, Dick come down. I was all loaded up one time. We was going to go back up to a camp, you know. And Dick come down to the house and he said, Joe, he says, Ellen wants to get married to you. Well, I said, all right, bring her along. So, there was an Indian ministry here, so me and Ellen went up and got married. That's all there was to that. And lived happily for 50 years.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And she was
she'd been married before down the river and she couldn't have children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she was a damn nice woman, was Ellen. And she lived with her for 50 years. She's buried there now, you see the river.
No, she was from Tanana.
Yeah, she was from Tanana. Her mother and father and brother lived here. That's how she come to be up here.
I see. What was her maiden name? Remember, before Mary?
I'd have to think of a minute. But her family was here, father and mother. And I could think, it take me a while to think about it. Yeah.
Now, you're about 88 now, right? 87, 88?
Yeah, yeah.
How many years have you been retired?
Oh, now that's something I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. But, you see, before you retire completely, see, that'd be a long trap line.
Yeah.
Then I would cut that out, let Jimmy use them if he wants, which he don't want, and I'd have play around what they call played around home. Little places that you can go out and come home.
Yeah.
Because you don't, just as soon up there, I didn't want to live in town. And I would have trap lines going from my cabin and back the same night.
Yeah.
Nice little trails too, up the river, a nice long trail over to Black River and down the river, had nice little trap lines, but home each night.
Yeah. With dogs?
I used dogs, and I cut down four dogs that I'd use in one place. Yeah, I used dogs, I'd use four then.
Yeah.
But before, when I was real trapping, I'd have six dogs.
Yeah.
Six good dogs too.
Now I think it'd be interesting if you told us the length of your trap lines and how many cabins you had on each trap line, how they were named, and how long it took to set the traps, and then how long it took to pick up the fur.
Yeah. Well, it took me 2 weeks, 14 days to make a round trip. I was there on what we call Shandar Trail. It's an 8-day trip. 8 days there. I had a cabin up the river, a day there and a day back, 10. Down the river, another cabin and back, 12. And from home, I would go back there one day with a sack on my back and across to towards, there's a big lake there, towards Fishhook. Mm-hmm. See, a day each way. And that made me see the trap lines every 2 weeks.
How many cabins did you have? You had, you must have had...
I think had about 11 cabins.
How many miles did you travel a day with dogs?
I was always 25 miles maybe.
That's when you're...
That's a rough...
when you're picking up fur.
Well, you'd... In the spring, you'd make maybe two cabins in the long days, but in the winter, I'd have maybe every 20 miles of a cabin. And I just a little shacking cabin, but comfortable.
You couldn't travel
and dug houses too. Yeah.
You couldn't travel far because of the darkness.
Because what?
Darkness. When it got dark, where you, it was the end of your traveling day, wasn't it?
Excuse me, I'll have to get that again.
Well, in the winter time when there was not very much light, why, you just traveled during the daylight hours.
Well,
right?
You'd go a little before. You'd know just about the time you could see enough to see your traps.
Yeah.
There was damn short days, but you get used to that, you know. You know, in the cabin, you know just what time to start off, because you had to see what you'd have to see tracks and know what you was doing. But you would know, you would have that figured out just what time to start. Of course, you'd have to be the light because you want to see the tracks before you set a trap. Yeah. Then Joe Herbert showed me how to trap, what little I knew, and I made it a business of that. I made good long trap lines, and that's why I wanted to make a living out of it. I'd like to get a little ahead, too.
You remember how old you were when you started trapping?
No, I wouldn't know.
You must have been younger than 30.
I wouldn't know, maybe 26.
24, 26.
Yeah. Here's an illustration to give you an idea. The first year we was here, we come down to Fort Yukon. There was Ornamore had a store here then, see? There was two stores, whatever, the Ornamore store, Moore store, and Billy Moore. And I know, we let whiskers grow, you know, in the winter. And when I come to town, they had a cabin next door where we used to live. And I go in there, and that night I cut off. And when I went in next morning, Billy Moore looked at me, "Oh, hell," he said, "you're just a kid."
Yeah.
Well, I was, of course, but I had all them whiskers on, all winter's whiskers, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember that word that Billy said, why he said, "you're just a kid."
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't very old. They had a cabin next door that people just live in there.
Yeah. Bunkhouse.
A bunkhouse, you call it. Four of us was together, and we live in there until I got a cabin. Oh, I say, the first cabin I bought, it was a little cabin down there for somebody to give $25 for it, and a damn good cabin too. The first cabin I ever bought in Fort Yukon.
Well, you have been one of the really successful professional trappers.
Yeah,
You were a trapper during the period of time, I guess, when fur was at its highest price in the 20s.
Wait a minute. I've sold them for $5 and I've sold them for $69.
Yeah.
So it wasn't always good when you're selling link for $5.
Yeah. But it was, and Fort Yukon was the fur capital of Alaska and probably the world at that time.
I guess that's right. Yeah.
And there weren't very many real big trappers. Let's see, who were they? You were one, Joe Ward. And Charlie, who were the other big trappers?
Jimmy Carroll,
Rue Mason.
Curtis.
Yeah, Curtis.
Curtis.
Yeah.
The Thomases. Thomas.
Tommy the Mate, we call him. His boys, his children are around here now.
Yeah. And all of these real professionals, the big trappers at that time, they still, they're living or buried here in Fort Yukon.
Their families are right here.
And their families
Jacob right here. Thomas, why his family is Tommy the Mate, his families are right in town now.
Mm-hmm.
I could get probably half a dozen of them. Nice boys, too. Freddie Thomas here.
Mm-hmm.
He works up at the base there. Johnny Thomas.
Yeah.
And another Thomas, too. Yeah, but them's two were the main ones.
Yeah.
Each one has good position here, too. We call him Tommy the Mate because he used to be mate on one of the steamboats.
Yeah. Now, what would a good catch be? What would you consider a good catch during one season?
How much value?
Well, a number of animals, the skins.
Oh, that differs. I've had 275 link in 1 year, and another time I'd have maybe 20, 30. They come in runs.
Mm-hmm.
Seven mink, I've had 132 mink in 1 year, and you'll have another year maybe 20 or 30. But any time there's a young run of any one thing, there's always lots of other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for instance, there'll be a big run of link, and maybe you get 20 or 30 mink and maybe a few martin and a few other things, fox and things,
mm-hmm.
but it'll be the one big run. Same as a big run of, as I say, 130 something, and link I've had 270, over 270.